Is that Jay-Z? This is Drake's new album.
This literally is. I actually know that this
I got
is,
a little fired up for this.
This is climbing up the snowy. Remember when the Russians are following him in the car? And he very tricky. Keep in mind, he's running through Siberia, literally.
So good.
Okay?
This is so good.
The car's trailing him, covered in snow.
Yep.
They're on a road.
Yep.
And Rocky fakes like he's going left. He gives you a little head fake left, and then no, he's not going left. He's going right up the hill, and this car, like, oh my God.
Doesn't know what to do,
so they just smash into the snowbank,
100%.
And then we see him.
And then they call AAA and all that.
Drago!
I throw this music on when I'm doing laundry.
That's the
You don't want to do laundry?
Training montage.
Why don't you throw on this song?
By the way, the Dodgers are Drago in this analogy. The Giants are Rocky.
I forgot why.
The Dodgers are Drago.
Yeah.
They are loaded with Cy Young Award winners. They are loaded with MVPs. They are loaded with All-Stars.
They're the favorites.
They're the defending World Series champions.
30% favorites over everybody else.
Supposed to win 110 games. $240 million payroll. And they're throwing everything they have at the Giants. And Gabe Kapler and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford and all these guys are like, he's like, he's lying. They won't go down. It's unbelievable. The Dodgers did a phenomenal job last night.
Yeah.
Fall behind in Colorado. Take the lead. Lead gets disappeared. All of a sudden, they're in extra innings. Kenley Jansen's walking guys, but he gets out of it. Joe Kelly's walking guys, but he gets out of it. Gratterall puts guys on bases in the last inning, and Vezia comes in and gets out, and they win the game. And you're thinking, there it is. They're going to steal one. The Giants are behind in San Diego. This is – no. There goes Rocky getting up again. Rocky's up.
It won't go down.
He's impossible to take out. And guess what? Rocky wins at the end of all these movies, right? Then hopefully this is Rocky 1, where they go to a split decision, and the champ gets the decision at the end.
Ain't going to be no more rematch.
Right.
Don't want one.
This is what's happening. The stupid Giants refuse to go down, Al.
That voice got better and better every time.
Well, it was already perfect to start, but I appreciate that.
It evolved, and by the end, Sylvester Stallone. We got him. We got him on the show. Okay, so this was the back and forth yesterday, and there's something I don't like because I feel like you're starting to lean.
Comes the black cloud sleeve.
No. You're starting to lean towards you like what's happening right now. You're starting to lean towards, wow, this is exciting. You're starting to lean towards, this is playoff baseball in September. And yesterday is a fantastic example because you got two of the best teams in baseball that have continued to prove they're the two best teams in baseball. And unfortunately for them, they're dueling it out. They're fighting it out in September. They're both desperate to win the division so they don't have to be in a wild card game that probably will be a St. Louis team that's won 10 games in a row that wiped out. I don't know how many games they were back from the Padres. Padres are five now back from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Very quickly, the Padres may finish under 500. The Padres had the wild card on lock. There was a moment where it looked like they might win the division.
I think they had an 8.5 game lead.
They're going to finish under 500 now.
Right.
It's unbelievable how they've created.
Okay, so just to play off of that, you know, last night was one of those games, Rockies-Dodgers. That starts before the Padres and the Giants, and the Dodgers have to fight their way back. They're up 4-2. Giants are down 4-1. You're thinking you're going to gain ground. And then by the time you get, you know, you get to a position where there's probably a moment where the Giants think, wait, we're going to gain ground on the Dodgers. I don't like that you're falling into this trap of you kind of like that it's unfolding right now. You kind of like how exciting it is.
Look, if Rob Manfred waved a magic wand and said, by the way, we're not going to put a 103-win team into the wild card game. This is ridiculous. They're both through. The Braves and the Cardinals are going to play in the wild card. Sign me up. Double thumbs up. I'm in. I'd be lying, Al, if I said I didn't have a good time last night. The way you have a good time when something's really scary. The way you have a good time when something's incredibly anxiety-inducing. That the, riding the waves of those games. Look, as much fun as it, as much as I love baseball, right? Yeah. I'll watch the Dodgers play the I don't know, pick a team. The Cubs.
Arizona.
Stay in the division. Doesn't matter. Yeah. In the middle of May, and there's 110 games left, I like that. This is different, man. This is every pitch matters. Every call matters. What was it, Joe Kelly, right? When he walked that second guy, that ball that was right at the top of the zone, I jumped out of my chair like, oh, wait, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's been a strike. It doesn't happen in May. That only happens now, and it only happens if the team that you're chasing is also having those moments. Get him out of there. Get Kenley out there. It's two walks. You got this elevated sense of importance. This doesn't happen in baseball typically until you get to the postseason and typically deep into the postseason. But it's happening right now, and I would be disingenuous if it wasn't incredibly fun. I simultaneously hate it because anything can happen, but it's pretty exciting.
So I'm actually the opposite way, to be honest with you. I mean, I could still – a close Lakers game. Like, you know, you're talking about – this is a perfect example, a close Lakers game, and you're looking at the standings and the other team. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Give me the blowout. Give me the I know I'm going to win. So you sit on edge. Of course, you're going to have games like that. It's the Golden State Warriors playing the Lakers in that play-in game, and it's LeBron hitting that three with the game tied over Steph. Steph looking at him like, what the hell? But you missed that shot, and like Warriors have the ball back. Right. They got a chance to win it. So you run through all those emotions. I get why you're excited, and you and I don't need to go back and forth on this. We've talked about how it is idiotic that it's not these other teams and other markets that are feeling this, because you're going to feel this anyways in the postseason.
Yeah, but it's not been, I mean, more of a good thing is more of a good thing. I don't hate that part of it. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. You know what is, again, we talked about Albert Pujols a minute ago about how the Dodgers realized there was something left there. Let's get a little more out of that. Albert Pujols gets the game-winning hit last night, and just a perfectly professional at-bat. It was wonderful to see. You know who else is doing it? It's almost the exact opposite of that and at the exact same thing. Gavin Lux is the opposite of Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols is at the end of his career. Yep. Gavin Lux is at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Albert Pujols has seen everything there is to see and is chill and is just kind of experiencing it the way a veteran would. And Gavin Lux is relatively – and keep in mind, Gavin Lux was not a part of that World Series run last year. He was not there for that. This is new for him. They're asking this dude, who was the minor league player of the year, okay, not the Dodgers minor league player of the year, the minor league player of the year, the best player in minor league baseball, a surefire can't miss thing. This is going to happen for him. And then all of a sudden, Trey Turner's here. And it's like, wait, what? Where? Justin Turner's not moving. Corey Seager's not moving. Max Muncy's not. What about me? Well, what about you, buddy? This guy is an MVP candidate. Sorry. And it would have been really easy for him just to get in his feelings and feel crummy about it. But because of reasons, Bellinger's hurt and not playing well, Pollock is hurt, Taylor is hurt, all of a sudden you put a guy that's a middle infielder out in left field. And look, I actually mean this as a term of respect. He has no idea what he's doing out there. Absolutely none. But
no,
he's
on a motorcycle, one hand, and on his
phone. Going 90 miles an hour.
Watching something on his phone.
And I love it. Mm-hmm. That play, the line drive that was hit right at him where he turned the wrong way four different times before it flew over his head. Mm-hmm. The one, the pop-up down the left field line that he had to run 800 miles for because Coors Field is a ridiculous concoction. It drops another double. You know what else he did? He got two hits and scored two runs. This is what the Dodgers do. They find things. They'll take an old thing and make it a new thing. They'll take a new thing and change it into a different thing. And give Gavin Lux all the credit in the world for, you want me to play left field? Yeah, I've literally never done it in my life. No. All right, cool. Let's see what happens. And he's raking.
And it's not ideal because, like you mentioned, okay, well, why is he getting the opportunity? Something must be going on. Well, nobody thought Bellinger would be hitting .150 or .160, whatever the case is.
Did you watch him last year?
Nobody thought. I don't think you thought it was going to be this bad.
Did you watch him
you
last year?
You thought he'd be this bad this year?
He's
got the worst batting average in baseball, if not the second worst.
I'll be honest. I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Of course.
I thought he would. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think he might be done. I really do. I think this
what
might
do you
be
mean,
who he
what
is.
Do you mean by?
I don't think the guy that won the MVP in 2019 is ever coming back.
You don't think he could hit 250 in the league?
No.
Even if it's a different team, somebody else takes
maybe,
a chance
on him.
Maybe
the scenario is a different team. And I know he's hurt, and I know that blah, blah. This is not just now. This is not just the rib. This is not just the calf injury. This goes back to his MVP season 2019. The last 45 days of that were really bad. Mm-hmm. Last year was really bad. This entire season, really
awful.
Bad.
Gavin Lux, by the way, last six games, 444.
That's pretty good. I'll take that. I'll take that over 144, which is what Cody's been giving you. But you're right. I mean, he got thrown in there, and it's another example of all the things they've done well. You know what we had that last night, too? Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, there was that, hey, Kenley, what the hell? There was that moment with Kenley that was, hey, this is not okay.
Are those magnified? Because I think here's
sure it's magnified. He pitches the ninth inning, of
but
course
at the
is.
End of the day, he got out of it. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But Trav, if that's the case, do that with Joe Kelly when he's on the mound. Do that with Trinan when he's on the mound. Do it with some of these other guys because we
those
skip
guys aren't
and ignore
the ninth inning. Al,
what's that?
Those guys aren't pitching the ninth inning.
But they've also been in tough predicaments,
tough situations,
and put the team in a tough spot.
This is Joe Kelly's entire career has been he's either untouchable or wild. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. And last night he was the wild version. You never quite know. So when he's that, you're like, okay. Trinan has been excellent to wait what's going on, and he was really good last night. Here's the difference, and this is why I think Kenley's performance last night is important. When he pitched against Joey Votto in that game on Sunday afternoon, right, they had a 4-run lead.
8-4 lead.
Four-run lead. Nobody's on base. Joey Votto comes up. That's the point where you say, you know what, I'm going to try to get ahead. Here it comes. See what you got. And he got him. Big deal. Still
and
got
Votto's
a
great player.
Votto's
a
Hall of Famer. Yep. Whatever. Fine, he hit a home run. Let's keep it moving. I wasn't trying to throw the perfect pitch. No big deal. Gets the next three guys. Pop, pop, pop. Game over. Feel good about it. Never crossed my mind that, hey, that's a hiccup for Kenley. Nah, we're good. Last night, Rockies, not a great team. Not filled with lights out guys. And you're nibbling. And you can't find the zone. And you walk a couple of guys. It's the because now, unlike Joey Votto, who got a cookie and smashed it, whatever, this is now you've brought in one bad pitch, a little bleeder over the first baseman's head, a broken bat single over the third baseman's head, a bad hop, an error, a bad call by the home plate umpire. All of a sudden, you lose now. You've brought in randomness where you didn't have to. The walks are really scary, Al. When he can't command his pitches, locate his pitches, is when my heart starts pounding because that's when he gets in trouble.
You know it was clutch last night? How about Pujols? He's today's stat hero of the day. It's Albert Pujols. Pujols hitting .394 as a pinch hitter this season. All right, .394, 13-33. First go-ahead hit in extra innings since May 16th, 2017 with the Angels. That's a great stat for Albert Pujols right there. And it just shows you the opportunity he's getting. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com. Make sure /710ESPN for 300% back on your first play.
He was fantastic last night. He's playing his best baseball at the most important part of the season. Can we say the same thing about Walker Buehler? That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I am excited to see Matthew Stafford. Here, Matthew Stafford, 1:30 with Mason in Ireland.
Yeah, it's you know it's fun. Forgive me, Chris. Forgive me, Sliwa. I'm excited that we have a quarterback that throws it to the guys that are wearing the same uniform.
Why do you keep talking about the other one?
I didn't. I'm talking about Matthew Stafford.
I could see I could see you at dinner talking with your wife about what you guys want to eat, and you just out of nowhere say, yeah, but I'm just glad we have Stafford. Goff's gone. What?
I'm just talking about that it's nice to have a quarterback that doesn't fumble twice a game. It's nice to have a quarterback where the head coach has the ability to call whatever play he wants because he's not afraid of him making an elementary mistake that he made in weeks 1, 5, 7, 9, and 11.
Hour and 15 minutes Matt Stafford will join Mason in Ireland.
Yes.
Can I throw a stat at you?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to throw a couple stats at you.
No.
And you tell me if this fits a certain individual.
Okay.
Last three starts, 11 earned runs over 16 innings, given up 19 hits.
In 16 innings?
16 innings, 11 strikeouts, 5 walks.
So you got 21 guys on base in 16 innings.
That's Walker Buehler's last three starts. Walker Buehler pitches tonight against the Rockies. Uh-huh. I'm not here to try and convince you or to scare you that Walker Buehler is not Walker Buehler, but over his last three games, I think it's a critical start for Walker Buehler. It's a critical start for a couple of reasons.
Define critical.
For a couple of reasons. You need a W, and there's no other way to put it.
For sure.
You needed a W against the Giants when he pitched. He didn't come through.
Fair enough.
You needed a W against the Reds when he pitched. You didn't come through.
I won't sign off on that one.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
That's fine. His last three starts, that's not Walker Buehler. I can sit here and we could make some excuses to it, and they'll probably be very accurate. You can say over the course of 162 games, X amount of starts, you're not going to pitch perfect. But the point I'm trying to make is the perception of Walker Buehler and the standard Walker Buehler has given every Dodger fan is, you're freaking ice. You get on the mound. It's pretty much the question of, did you give up any runs or you give up one run? That hasn't been the case for Walker Buehler over the last three games. When I say this is a key one tonight, all I'm saying is you don't want to sit here and say that's four starts in a row, that Walker Buehler hasn't been Walker Buehler, especially as you're this close to the postseason. Just go out there and get a solid 4-2 victory and everybody else kind of shuts up, but that's not Buehler over the last three starts.
Okay, I hear you, and you make a really good case for where you're headed with this, but I don't think that they're excuses. I think they're explanations, and there's a huge difference. The explanation is the game against the Giants was bad, period, full stop. He didn't pitch well. He got lit up on a night when they needed him to pitch big, and he
happens.
Didn't. Happens.
Unfortunate it was against the Giants, but it happens.
You said, you know, the question with him was always, did he give up one or did he give up zero? Okay. The other two games that you're talking about him pitching poorly,
yeah,
he gave up two and three. He didn't give up seven. Mm-hmm. He didn't give up nine. Mm-hmm. That if we're saying that you usually give up one, but you gave up two, what the hell's the matter with
Here's what I'm accustomed to with Buehler. I'm not accustomed to him not getting a win.
I hear you.
He didn't get wins in any of those three games.
I understand, but it's not because he didn't pitch well. It's because the team didn't play well.
He didn't pitch well.
He did. He didn't pitch like a Cy Young Award winner.
But that's the expectation.
But that's an unrealistic expectation. I think what the expectation is he pitching as well as he can? No. Is he pitching poorly? No. He had one bad game. This is not a guy that, look, let's use this as an example. This goes back a few years. Clayton Kershaw was a guy that didn't give up home runs. Mm-hmm. Didn't give them up. And he really never gave up home runs to left-handed guys. Then all of a sudden, there started to be some home runs. They go to that playoff game against Arizona a handful of years ago. He gave up four home runs in one game. Now, they were all solo shots because he knows what he's doing. He doesn't give guys free pass, but there were guys making a whole bunch of loud contact against him all of a sudden. That was one of those, well, that's weird. This isn't that. This is circumstantial, Giants bad game. The rest of it, the Reds game, he didn't get lit up. They hit two balls hard in the whole game. They just happened to come at the worst possible time. The Padres game that you're talking about where he gave up two,
Tatis hit one ball hard.
Mm-hmm. He's fine. Now, if he goes out there and gets knocked out of the game today in the second or third or fourth inning, and to your point, he's walking a handful, but he's giving up a bunch of hits, and you're getting more than a guy on base each inning, then I think the conversation starts to take on a little momentum. I'm looking at it very differently. I'm looking at Walker Buehler going out there today, and I love their chances of winning this game. If we fast forward a week and he's pitching against the Padres and the Dodgers and the Giants are tied for first place and you got to win this game and put you back and he's our guy, I love my chances. Let's go further than that. Let's go to the World Series, Game 7 of the World Series, 3 apiece. Every game's been tooth and nail, and it's his turn to go. Let's bleep and go with Walker Buehler. I don't feel any different about that.
Let me tell you what I think Buehler's going to do tonight. I think he's going to deliver, right? So I think for the Dodgers, this predicament, this situation, I know it's in Colorado, which always makes things funky, and it's not anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. So it's not probably the best gauge. All I'm saying, it's okay to point out and criticize someone that you've depended on and you've like you said, probably unrealistically, it's not fair to think Buehler's just going to go out on the mound and give up nothing or one run. But he's kind of trained Dodger fans to be that way. It's okay to point out in the last three games, 11 earned runs, 16 innings, 19 hits, 11 Ks, and 5 walks. I think that's part of, you know, part of our job, too, to point that out.
You know whose fault this is? Well, the reason that you're having a panic attack over this?
Bellinger's fault.
No. I thought for sure you were going to say
Goff's fault.
Yeah.
It's one of those two guys.
No. You know whose fault it is? It's Max Scherzer's fault. Because you have this weird expectation of every time a good pitcher pitches, he gives up zero runs. It's absurd.
Stupid. No, it's stupid.
It's absurd. So
his last earned run he gave up was 2007.
When you put anybody next to the way that Max Scherzer is pitching right now, it's like, what's the hell's the matter with this guy? Nothing.
No, but I don't think it's that.
I think it's exactly that. It's that. Look, has he been? This is a man who was going to win the Cy Young Award until these last couple of starts. That doesn't mean that it means he had a couple. He had one bad one and two okay ones.
Okay, but is that that's my
nothing.
Point? I get
it's
it.
It's nothing.
My point is, it's fair to point that out, and I don't think anybody is. So you show what he's done over these last three starts, which takes me back to why I think this is an important start tonight. It's also because, yes, you're in this race to win the division. He had two different opportunities. If he pitched like Walker Buehler, maybe you win that game against Cincinnati. Maybe you win that game against San Francisco.
You're making it sound like he pitched like Tony Gonsolin in two of those three games.
No, but what you're making it
– he pitched well.
What you're making it sound like is – you cannot question what he's done over the last three starts. He hasn't been Walker Buehler.
He has not been Walker Buehler in one of those three starts. Not all three. Not all three. The Dodgers haven't won the games, which is unusual, but it's not because he got his head kicked in. It's because they didn't score. It's been, in one of the games they did win, he didn't get a decision. The Padre game they did win. He just didn't get a decision in it. The Reds game, they lost three. If you score one run, you're going to lose. If the Dodgers give Max Scherzer one run, he'll probably lose.
From what I've been told and what we've seen, Walker Buehler is – the dude is ice. I'm just saying go out tonight and do what you've done your entire career. Take care of the Rockies, give up a run or two, and call it a day.
Fast forward to game 163.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Max Scherzer pitches on game 162, and they had to win it, and he did.
Yep.
And now they're tied for the division
with 163.
Buehler's getting the ball. Do you have weird feelings about that? Even let's say for whatever reason
– no. I don't.
Every start that he has from between now and then feels like the one he pitched in San Diego or against San Diego. Do you have a pinky feeling? Neither do I.
No, here's the thing. I don't. And if you play that same scenario and say it's a wild card game, you have bad feelings about it, period, because it's a wild card game. The 163rd, where you know it's not do or die, and even if it is do or die, you'll still feel really good that Buehler's on the mound. But to answer your question, no.
It is funny how these things change because let's use a different Dodger topic here. The Dodgers were dreadful in extra inning games. Like something crazy, like 1-11 through their first 12.
Yeah, it was weird. It was extra innings and one run games.
Yeah, but the extra innings in particular, they were bad in both. But the extra innings, I think they were 1-11 at one point. They win a game in extra innings last night, and all of a sudden it turned in New York when they were playing the Mets. They finally won one, and all of a sudden I think they've won four of their last five. This is why averages are so important, right? Mm-hmm. That it's going to be what it's going to be. Like if I, to use a basketball player, if you are a 40% three-point shooter and you make 10 in a row, a whole bunch of misses are coming. You know what I mean? It's just these percentages matter.
Can I throw one more thing at you? George Castillo, the LA Times.
Yeah.
Put out an article, and I don't know if there's something here, and this actually – We heard for Julio how many more innings he's pitched, but this was 2 months ago, right? Where he had already reached
the most amount of innings
that he's ever pitched. So I'll throw this out there, and you tell me if this is something that you have any concern or not at all, right? So threw 73 pitches yesterday, and there's a breakdown of his velocity. All right, so fastball averaged 92.4 miles per hour compared with 94.1 entering the outing. Curveball dropped from 79.7 to 81.4. And his changeup, 86.9 to 84.5. Mean anything?
It means a lot. Like, honestly, your Walker Buehler thing is interesting, but I don't put a ton of, like, he's pitched poorly here or there. That what you just read right there is more interesting to me because Walker Buehler's been through this a million times. He's going to figure out a way how to pitch his way out of these things. He's got all. He's been through these battles before. He knows what his body feels like, all that stuff. Julio Urias is in the deep end of the pool, and he's never been down there before. It's not a fear thing. It's just simply a physical thing.
Sure.
That when he's
nearly 100 innings more than he's ever pitched.
He's had an arm injury. He's missed time this year with it. That these are the things that make you go, okay. And the number one indicator of those fatigue issues is velocity, right? And by the way, what is it? 2 miles an hour on his fastball, roughly 94 to 92. That's not nothing. That is the difference between I can miss my spot.
94.1, right? Yep.
At 94, if I miss my spot, I still got a chance that you're not going to barrel me.
Mm-hmm.
At 92, if I miss my spot, you have a pretty good chance of barreling me. That's the difference.
He said, I feel good after the game. I feel strong at the end of the game. I don't feel tired or anything, and I think that's a good sign. But it's an interesting – the article points out something that we haven't talked about in a while because – 2 months ago, we kept saying, I think he's about to reach the most innings ever. He's almost 100 innings over.
And he's been great. Mm-hmm. He's another one that could win a Cy Young Award this season if it weren't for his, I don't know, his two teammates along the way, which is just embarrassing. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Ben Simmons really doesn't want to play for Doc Rivers. He really doesn't want to.
That's crazy. Would have never thought that.
Yeah, and doesn't sound like Doc's dying to have him back either. We'll explain next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mine was better. This is the best song from that movie. I think Frank Stallone's playing the drums in this. Hey, bro, Sly, get me in on the drums on this one?
I don't know why we play any other music on this show. I really don't. It makes no sense to me.
You're not feeling my Drago versus Rocky's Drago? I think mine was better.
No, what I'm saying is, moving forward, if it's not a Rocky, it's not from a Rocky soundtrack, we're doing something wrong.
How many times do you think I could get him to try to react on my Drago before he'll just ignore it completely and keep going?
I mean, I got a great day lined up.
I think there's many things about this show I like, okay. But I really like it when you don't like something that I do and you just pretend it's not happening. I think that's my favorite part of the show.
And you should just think about like what my mind is doing of trying to like, how do we get over this?
Yeah, no. How do we get over this hurdle? Travis to move past this, and you think that just immediately changing the subject and going in a different direction is going to work? It's not, because while this may make you uncomfortable, I like this part of this show a lot.
Okay, can I ask a question here? Because sure. This is a legitimate one.
Okay.
Here. Am I reading this right that the Minnesota Timberwolves, they just fired their GM?
Okay.
Okay. And Carl Anthony Towns puts out a tweet, WTF, dot, dot, dot. That's it.
Did he really?
That's all he put out.
That's great. I love that.
Talk about an organization, everyone pulling the rope in the same direction. Talk about having a conversation with your players,
right?
And
the collaboration.
Stars.
Absolutely.
That's
amazing.
Unique. That's very unique. Look, these are the moments where Twitter is at its best.
That's fantastic. That's legitimately great. Look, Rob Pelinka's done a really good job, and I don't want him to get fired, but now I kind of do, just to see if somebody will do that for the Lakers, just send in some random.
No, the way you get fired is you do nothing with your franchise like the Timberwolves, and you do not collaborate with, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. We're talking about the giving the keys to a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. To a franchise player.
Yep.
I'm not saying you got to give the keys to Carl Anthony Towns. Put him in the meeting.
You text him before you release the statement, right? You say, hey, Cat, what's his name?
Garrison Rosas.
Garrison. We're going to let Garrison go. Okay, we just want to let you know. That way you don't get the WTF tweet 30 seconds after it happens.
Talk about an awful look. Awful look.
Here's an awful look for
you.
Yeah,
this is a good transition.
This is Doc Rivers, yep, after they were eliminated from the playoffs last year. Remember, this was a big deal when he was asked the question, do you think that Ben Simmons can be the point guard on a championship team?
Doc, you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. So that lit the match, right? That was the beginning of the Ben Simmons, mm-hmm, versus Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid versus the Philadelphia 76ers. It was on at that point.
Okay, so I don't remember quotes all that well. I don't remember, like, if somebody said something, I might not remember what exactly the details were. I remember watching NBA TV after that game, and I was cheering for Trae Young like I was born and raised in Atlanta, because I loved watching Trae Young.
He's fun.
And I can't tell you, that just stuck with me. Him and Joel Embiid had comments right after the game that I'm like, I don't know if Ben Simmons is ever going to be here anymore.
So,
you can't make comments like that.
You're right. I'm with you. I have nothing to add to that. Other than Doc Rivers was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning.
Yeah.
And he says, guys, that's not how that went.
I actually said when the guy asked, guys, I'm not answering that stuff right now. I don't even know how to answer that.
Ah.
So what I was talking about was not answering the question.
Wow.
It had nothing to do with Ben. Yeah, but I said, you know, it's funny, the next day, because my daughter, actually, Callie, called me and said, hey, you better clean that up. I know exactly what you were saying, but they're going on with a different narrative. So the next day, I did an impromptu press conference and said it again. I said, guys, for whoever's running this narrative, you know that's not what I was saying. Ben knows that. Rich Paul knows that. But, you know, it's amazing how it gets started and it just takes a life of its own.
Okay, it's a great explanation. Hey, guys, I wasn't saying
great. I don't know.
I don't know how to answer that question right now. We just lost. I don't want to talk about it. And it was misinterpreted as I don't know if he is or not. It's a good explanation because it actually kind of fits. Ben Simmons didn't take it like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Ben Simmons heard. And he's saying, oh, Ben knows. Oh, Rich Paul knows. You sure, Doc? Because this has been going on for a while, and it doesn't sound like that's how they heard it the way that Alan Sliwa heard it. They heard it the way that Travis Rogers heard it. They heard it as the, is Ben Simmons good enough for you to be a championship team? I don't know. That's what they heard. That's what the whole world heard.
Let me try to localize this as best as I can, okay? So if the Lakers were in a predicament or situation like this, and Vogel, after a playoff loss, Lakers lost to the Phoenix Suns, and the question was something about Anthony Davis and his durability or something along those lines. I don't know what to tell you, but this is how I look at things. The way you answer things in the moment, that's how you feel. Now, you might, what do they say? The smartest thing to do is, like, before you answer, wait 24 hours, like, sleep on it, wake up.
They don't get that luxury.
They don't get that luxury, but you can definitely, what you can't have happen, which what Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid had happened in the playoffs. Trav, if you don't want Ben Simmons on your team anymore, sounds good. If you're worried about the dude not wanting to take a shot in the playoffs, sounds good. What you can't have happen is lose the value of Ben Simmons because you're putting him out there on the block, pretty much saying you don't want him on the squad.
You're 100% right. You know what happened? Both Embiid and Doc Rivers, and it sounds ridiculous, like you were talking about love to hate, sounds ridiculous, they got caught telling the truth. That's what happened. To your point, that in the moment, the game just ended, this is a guy that not only shot poorly, because that's not what happened, he wouldn't shoot.
Yeah.
Right. Which is just so strange.
Yeah.
It's just so weird that he refused to shoot. And look, I know you like Ben Simmons, and I'm not a huge fan. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to draw too much of anything other than a straight line for why did they lose to Ben Simmons won't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty obvious in that series, at least. And buzzer goes off into the locker room. Everybody's bummed that they lost to a team that they're better than. And the question is, hey, that guy that wouldn't shoot, that very clearly just lost you the series, is he good enough? And they got caught telling the truth. No, he's not. Not like that, he's not. I don't know. Why wouldn't he shoot? They got caught. But you're right at the same time, which is why the Dodgers are so good at this, why the Lakers have gotten very, very good at this. You need
it's not
to
always
know,
been like that, but it, it's like that at the moment.
You need to have that moment of tell the lie, buy some time, stall, deflect. Look, guys.
Stall, deflect. I like that.
This game ended 18 seconds ago. Can I just have a minute?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to answer that question right now because, you know what? I'm just upset.
I got a
lost.
Better answer. Of course he can. Of course we can win a championship with
now
him on
just,
this team.
Now you're just lying.
No, you're not. If Ben Simmons, the third best player on that team, they could probably win
it
a championship.
It just happened. I've never seen you argue something so wrong in
you
my life.
You cannot say with your franchise players 25 years old that actually has a lot of things
no.
that he does you're amazing.
No.
You
no,
can't
no, no,
say
no.
that you can't win a championship without that dude. You cannot say it. It's not smart. And if he's the third best player on that team.
It's not smart because it devalues him because you're trying to dump his ass. That's not smart.
You dump him. I'll take him on my team.
What's ridiculous is that there are three things you got to be able to do in basketball, right? You got to be able to score. You got to be able to defend. And you got to be able to pass the ball. These are the things. That's basketball, right? Play defense.
Which he does.
Right. But you can't do none of the other things. He doesn't have to do it well. Rajon Rondo's a bad shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook's not a great shooter.
No, he has to shoot the ball. He has to shoot the ball.
And it's not that, hey, he just got here. Okay? He's not a winning player. I go back to this. I remember Ireland and I having this conversation with Michael Thompson at one point.
Okay.
He was coming out of LSU.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament is a garbage event now. Sorry, college basketball fans. Three quarters of the teams in that are bad basketball teams.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons is the number one pick, and he couldn't get his team into that tournament. I remember thinking, and John and I were kind of on the same page, and Michael's like, no, he's great, he's great, he's great. Okay, fine. Let's see if he gets better. His offensive game is exactly what it was when he came in, and I think that's what happened in that moment. It was an argument between, not did he have a bad series, which he clearly did. It was a, why are we still talking about this far into his career? Why has he not?
He's 25. He's not 31.
I understand that, but he also didn't start when he was 24. He's been in the league a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in for a while, and it's not that he hasn't gotten good at it. It's
he won't take the shot. Yeah, no,
and
I know
the only reason he won't take the shot is because he knows it's not going to go in, because he doesn't want to get embarrassed, because he hasn't worked at it.
I can't.
And you can show me every video in the world
or justify why he doesn't take the shot. I can't.
Because he's not working at it. There's no other explanation.
Yeah, but you have 82 regular season games. You can work on it during regular season games, too.
But he won't because he knows it's not going in. It's embarrassing to him.
Yeah.
And the reason he knows it won't go in is because he knows he hasn't put in the time to fix it. And that's the frustration.
The equivalent of baseball, swing the freaking bat. Every once in a while, you got to swing the damn bat. You can't just have it sitting on your shoulders. He has it sitting on
his
shoulders.
Look, Cody Bellinger, for all of the hard time we've given mm-hmm. him, at least he's hacking. Mm-hmm. It looks like you know
not
what,
hitting
but
anything,
at least
but
he's hacking. Right? This would be this isn't even watching it go by. You know what this is? This is the equivalent of getting into the batter's box without a bat. I don't even have to think that you might swing. Hey, he's got a bat. Maybe this is the time. This is him just standing there in the batter's box watching it go by.
I get the argument. You could not handle this worse if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, and he probably doesn't report to camp.
Completely agree with you on that one. The Dump is next. Travis and Salee, 710 ESPN. Another one.
No, that's it. We're done. There's no.
This is all.
If
yeah.
you look at our page just for the show, all Rocky tracks.
Rocky songs. Right? By the way, as far as cinematic deaths go, Apollo Creed's death messed me up.
Oh.
That was bad, man. You can't kill Apollo.
No, every morning I say a prayer.
Throw the damn towel, Sly.
What are you doing here?
Go play.
It's like taking out Daniel LaRusso or something. You can't
no,
do that.
I was rooting for
almost
that.
Happened.
I was rooting
Didn't
for that.
Didn't you say that almost happened? That
yeah,
was,
they were going to yeah. kill him at the end of Karate Kid 2 or 3.
Kill
I forget which one it is.
Aggressive word.
Would have been a standing ovation in every theater in America. Here's a quick tweet. This is from Chris Camello. Welcome, Chris. I don't recognize your Twitter handle. Always love new names. There's something to be said about getting sent down to the minors. When you look at Lux, Beattie, Vezia, Gratterall, they've all been sent down, worked on things, and when they get called up, they're able to produce. I still wish the Dodgers had done that with Bellinger. Okay, it's a good point. Lux, Beattie, Vezia, Gratterall, yeah, they've come back better. There's a huge difference.
Big difference.
There's a huge – this guy won the MVP. He's not an up-and-coming prospect that's struggling with the major league life. He was the best player in the league 2 years ago.
Hey, where's Westbrook tonight? He's in the G League.
Yeah, is he rehab? No. We just think he needs to work on some things.
Not happening.
No, there comes a point in your career where
it's over, yeah.
And I'm not a big, we got to consider the guy's field, but the humiliation, not that you're going down to what you could do, and again, this is kind of what Doc Rivers hasn't figured out. Sometimes you got to tell a lie to help yourself and the other guy.
Yeah.
You can say like, look, Cody Bellinger has a bad thumb, just making something up. He's gonna take some time on the IL, and then we're gonna give him a rehab stint in Oklahoma City. Okay, what you don't have to say is the rehab stint may be 3 months long. We're gonna let him work on some things down there to air quotes make sure his thumb is okay. That's the part they haven't done. You ready?
Yes. Well, real quick, it's time here for the Stat Hero Fantasy Preview. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app. Partner of the Travis and Sliwa show. So you're putting a lot of money on Cooper Kupp.
He's been making me money.
Here's a great thing. I know for me, I've already got two lineups ready.
Okay.
Thursday night, obviously the Thursday night football game, and Friday, which you can start setting up your college games as well. There's a Friday night game, only one, so that's great. Wake Forest and Virginia, start setting it up now.
You know what game I like? I'm looking at the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night game, and in the MVP spot where you have a multiplier on the points.
Yep.
The game that you're going up against is Aaron Jones, who had four touchdowns. That doesn't work like that. You don't get four 1 week and come back with four more the next week. I think that there may be a drop down there. I like that. CeeDee Lamb's in there. Troy Pollard is in there. Jalen Hurts. It's the one I got my eye on.
Listen, I am also the general manager that had Aaron Jones this past weekend. So I just want to point that out.
Credit where credit is due.
Got lucky. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN. 300% back on your first play right now.
Triple. Time for the dump. All right, so we mentioned this earlier that it's the anniversary of the premiere of Criminal Minds back in 2005. Whole bunch of TV shows came out on September 22nd, back when the fall schedule release was a big deal.
Yep.
Friends came out in 1994. That had a pretty good run. Full House came out in 1987. Family Matters, 1989.
Family Matters was a good one.
Lost in 2004. Mm. I loved Lost for about six episodes, and then I'm like, well, this is stupid.
Yep.
And bounced out on that. 2.5 Men, which I believe was on the air for 468 years, debuted
in
2003.
And still on all the time. Yep.
And one of my all-time favorite TV shows, West Wing. I know Morales is a West Wing guy, premiered in 1999. President Bartlett forever.
And then probably the best acting that we'll ever see, Baywatch. Just good actors, good actresses all the way around.
Baywatch premiered in 1989. And I remember seeing that. I was a senior in high school in 1989. Mm-hmm. And even at that point, 17 years old, you felt like you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing when Baywatch was on the TV. It's like, is it okay if I have this on? Like, my mom's not going to walk in here, right? I can't have Baywatch can't be on when your mom comes in the room. It just doesn't feel right.
No, it's the beach. You got to save
Hasselhoff.
People.
It's Knight Rider.
They saved somebody.
Knight Rider's here, and I'm waiting for the car to show up. Yeah, but why is Pamela Anderson running in slow motion? I don't know. I'm just here for Kit, man.
It's a 3 mile run.
It's gonna take her 45 minutes to complete.
It was 90% of the show.
Wrong. It was 100% of the show, with a couple of cutaways of Hasselhoff kind of sucking it in and pretending that he's a lifeguard along the way. Shohei hit one last night, 45 home runs of the season. That would be the second most in Angel history. Mm-hmm. Troy Gloss has the most home runs in a single season for the Los Angeles Angels. I know that we do it all the time. I know that this is kind of where he set up shop on our show. I hate it that Ohtani is in the dump every day for doing something cool, and we just give it the 5 minutes or 5 seconds that it gets.
You mentioned, will he get to 50? This was about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, so answered your question. No, he's not getting to 50.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think so either, but he could.
He could hit two tonight.
That's the thing. With his deal, he could pop a couple in one game and then get right back into it.
Do you think he got, just to play this out here, get gassed a little bit? You think he got tired? You got tired with
there's no question.
All-star break and
There is no question. The all-star break, I think, is part of it.
And playing two freaking primary.
You're asking him to do something that's literally never been done. And who knows how that affects your body? Only Shohei Ohtani knows what this feels like.
Yeah.
And that he came back and pitched on Sunday. Remember we were talking, okay, the Angels said he's probably done for the season. We'll see. He pitched on Sunday.
10 Ks, I think.
Struck out 10 guys. Yeah. Turns around yesterday and hits another home run. So while maybe the velocity of what he was doing has kind of settled down a little bit,
yeah.
the extraordinary – and by the way, I heard Eduardo Perez, who I think is a great baseball analyst on this network, that he said Vladimir Guerrero is the MVP. I'm like, dude, Eddie, stop, man. No, that's a
really bad argument.
That is a bad take. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays might get in. The Angels are bad. I get it. It has never happened before.
If there's ever a season that you put aside the success of a team based on who you give MVP to, it's this year.
By the way, both the MVP in the American League, which is probably going to be Ohtani, and the MVP of the National League, which really will probably be Tatis or Bryce Harper, both of them probably miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Pod.
ESPN app or on iTunes. The full 3 hours, you can catch it. Just search Travis and Sliwa. And don't forget, coming up at 1:30.
My guy.
1:30, right?
Matt Stafford
coming up with Mason in Ireland.
Yeah, he's coming up with John and Steve. That's coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget, we're back tomorrow morning. And Al, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, toes crossed, a big fat I told you so about Walker Buehler. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:55.